Father, we just ask you as we receive tonight's offering that we might do everything that we can to reach your message of love, to show folks that there is a way, and it's you. We thank you for everything you do for us. And Father, we just want to praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me tell you a little bit about what's happening at Westbridge this week. Now, if you're in a ladies' group, you know they had a bonus Wednesday night last week. Did you ladies have a good time? Yeah, wonderful. Well, you're going to have an even better time this Wednesday, because instead of the study, you guys are going to have a bonfire, and you're going to make s'mores, and you're going to eat and chat at Miss Tara O'Leary's house. So Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, the women are going to get together and hang out. So you don't have to have ever gone to ladies' group before in order to come this Wednesday night. Miss Tara's right here in the second row. If you don't know how to get to her home, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, you want to be there. We're preparing for a major, I mean major, event on June 4th here at Westbridge. Our youth are going to take over the night. I heard a woo-hoo from Caleb, but it kind of was a little, you got to bring it up a little. All right, everybody, woo-hoo! All right, so June 4th, our youth are going to take over the entire service. That is every aspect. They're going to give Pastor Drew a break and everyone else, from band to worship to welcoming to taking care of some snacks. And obviously, they're going to praise God with what they share with us that night. So tonight, Friday night, they're going to practice. So upper room, same situation as before. I think band at 5:30 and the actual team that's working on the arts at 7. Tonight is the last night to let my wife or I know that you're interested in joining the group ticket purchase for the Even If conference at Zarephath Christian Church, which is about an hour from here. It's on September 16th and 17th, and so we're going to buy those tickets this week. A gentleman by the name of Francis Chan, who many of you have heard of, is going to be one of the main speakers, so I know I'm looking forward to seeing him as well. And then the last thing, August 14th, is the gala, 4 to 8. That's a Sunday at Green Pond Country Club, and for $40 per person, you get everything covered. You get food, you get the event, and we're going to have a good time of getting together. We're going to get a bit dressed up, do a little bit of dancing, and it's going to be a night that we gather as a church family. You don't want to miss it. It really is a lot of fun. So now would be a good time to take out your outline and your Bible as we celebrate this unique and exceptional hero created by God, a mother. Proverbs 31:29 says this: "There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." Proverbs 31, verse 29, it's actually part of a section of verses that commend a godly wife and a godly mother. A verse that succinctly kind of sums up how God views the beauty of his creation, his daughters. Motherhood is a unique and special experience. Just ask any one of them, and they'll tell you. The role of a mother can be the most demanding and yet the most rewarding. Motherhood can bring the greatest joys, a child's first step, their first word, hugs, watching them do what they enjoy, riding a bike, or dancing, or singing, or playing a sport, and seeing them graduate. And motherhood can bring some of the greatest sorrows. It can be a thankless job, and quite possibly the most underrated and underappreciated one. A mother's work is tireless, and it has no ending. My mother never stops caring and concerning for her children. Every time I go to Michigan and see her, it's wonderful. But the moment I go to walk out that door, the tears come. She misses me, or at least maybe it's Shanda and the kids, but I'm taking credit for it. Because she wants to be with her children. She's constantly wondering about do they have this? Do they have that? Can I cook for you? Can I get something? Can I do something? Mom, it's now time for us to do for you. But alas, mother is a verb. It's something you do. It's not just who you are. Christian mothers must never underestimate their calling. It's extremely difficult, challenging, and tiring calling, but its rewards, they are in proportion to the task. Tonight, we will explore a number of different passages in Scripture to study why God created mothers. And we'll rejoice by conversing about a few of the wonderful qualities that God fashioned into them. Many people have offered answers to tonight's question: why are mothers created? And they answered some other questions. And there was one such survey back in 2009, and here are the questions and the answers that were given when polling a group of two-year-old children. The question was this: why did God create mothers? She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Mostly to clean the house, to help us out of there when we were getting born. The children were asked some other questions too, like, how did God create mothers? He used dirt just like the rest of us. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly used string, I think. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms would. And what kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. They say she used to be nice. And the last question they asked in the survey is, what would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. You know, her hair, I'd dye it. Kids can say the funniest things, and often to the surprise and confusion of their parents. Whether they're asked tough questions, or whether they're asked about easy things, or whether they're just talking to their toys, they say some very crazy things. But moms, it's music to your ears, isn't it? Well, while the Bible does not directly point out why mothers are created, there are several indications for why he did. And tonight, I'd look at three of those together with you. The first indication being to complete man. God created mothers to complete man. Turn to Genesis 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him." God created light and darkness, the sky, the universe, the sun, and the moon. He created the trees and the earth, and he saw it was good. And then he created man, Adam. And in verse 19, God then took the ground and he formed all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. And he brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call each and every one of them. And the man chose a name for each. He gave names to the livestock and to the birds and all the wild animals. But there was no helper suitable for him. So what did God do? God completed man by giving him a partner that was suitable for him, a woman. God took a rib from Adam's side and fashioned the woman. God didn't take a bone from his foot to indicate that he could step all over her. He didn't take something from his back so that the woman would know she's supposed to stand behind him like a servant. He took something from his side to indicate clearly and establish this complementary, side-by-side, equal relationship walking together. I read an interesting highlight this week while I was studying. You know how oftentimes men refer to their wives as the other half. Well, the phrase here is quite biblical, right? Even more often, myself and other men, well, they refer to their wives as the better half. That too is biblical. Because you know what, guys? You and I were made from dirt. Man and women completing one another is best demonstrated being the creation of marriage. God didn't create Eve so that she and Adam could hang out in the garden with the animals and the trees and the flowers. No. Turn to Mark 10, verse 8. And what you'll see there, if you write that down and read it, is, "And the two are united into one." He created Eve so that she and Adam could be together. We see through the creation of marriage, two, the man and the woman, one flesh by God's design. This brings us to another indication we can learn from Scripture. It's through this indication how mankind can fulfill God's first direct command to humans that's found inside Genesis 1. Back there, verses 26 through 28. "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it." The second indication we find in the Bible for why God created mothers is to complete family. Without woman, man would be alone and incomplete. Without woman, there would be no mankind. In order to have dominion over the earth, Adam and Eve, actually, they had to populate it first. And they couldn't do that without multiplying. Alone, Adam couldn't do this. Eve completes Adam. Eve is the very first mother, and without her, well, I mean, Adam did help a little, there would be no children, no such thing as a family. Women, mothers, are central to the assignment of establishing mankind on earth, filling the earth with goodness and the glory of God that's shown through us and their children. Without mothers, there would be no kids, and without children, there would be no family. And without the fulfillment of God's first commands, there wouldn't be a community, there wouldn't be a town, there wouldn't be a Westbridge, there wouldn't be a you and me. Mothers have a profound impact on their children. Just think about the important roles mothers played in Scripture. There was Moses' mother, Hannah, Elizabeth, Eunice, the mother of Timothy, and Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, to name a few. Mothers are not inconsequential. In fact, quite the opposite. They have a profound impact on the world. George Washington said this, "All I am, I own to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Washington was the first president of the United States, the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War, and one of the founding fathers of our country here. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And on January 1st, 1863, Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, abolishing slavery. Without their mothers, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln would have never grown up to become the men they were. They would have never become president. Their mothers helped complete these men. And now, look what we have. A company that's unrivaled, the United States of America. As the face of the Underground Railroad, this mother, Harriet Tubman, fearlessly escorted over 300 slaves to freedom and became an icon of the civil rights movement. Benazir Bhutto was the first female prime minister of Pakistan, a Muslim state. And if you know anything about the Middle East, women are not held in high regard. This mother of three ended a military dictatorship and fought for civil rights and as a result has inspired women not only in the Middle East but around the world. And Dorothy Hodgkin was a mother and a biochemist who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. Hodgkin is credited with significantly improving healthcare thanks to her work on discovering the structure of penicillin, insulin, and vitamin B12. She was also a leading practitioner of X-ray crystallography, all of these which forever have changed things for you and me. Even to this very moment, her work is improving the life of billions of people around the world. Without a mother, the family would be less than whole, as intended by God's design. I mean, who does a child turn to when they're feeling ill or after a hard day for comfort? Their mom. Mothers are the center of the family universe by which everything in the house revolves. Mothers are the glue that often brings us together. I know one thing my wife is really big on is family dinners. I just want us all to sit down and eat dinner together. I don't care what anyone else does. When Lauren comes back from college, I just want to have dinner together. And we sit there and we talk and we laugh and we come together. Who turns a house into a home? Mothers. Mothers see the best in us. And where would family and children be without the power of a mother's love? So far we looked into two of the indications why God created mothers. But I need your help to uncover the third. So I want to ask a question, and you guys are going to help answer this for me. So let me get set up here. So when you think, and Andrew, you can pop up the question there. So when you think about your mother, and when you think about moms, what qualities come to mind? What things do you think of when you think of your mom or mothers in general? What are the good things about mothers? Just shout it out there. Luke, what do you got? Patience. Mothers are patient. See this? This is the spell check button. I'm going to hit that later. You know what I'm saying? Patience. Exactly. Mothers are patient. What else do you have for me? Caleb. They're problem solvers? Oh, my goodness. Yep. Excellent. Yell out another one for me. What? Time. Kind. Mothers do give us a lot of time, though. I can tell you that. Mothers do. Over there. Selfless. Wow. Yep, selfless. Back behind Jake. Here you go, Bump. What's up? Go ahead, speak loud. Good cooks. What, were you looking at me? You can tell I've been eating well. Yeah. Jake, what do you got for me? Resilient. Beautiful. Wow. Yep. Madison. Awesome. They surely are awesome. Yep. Cool. What do you got for me, Gavin? Loveful? I love it. They're full of love. You just made a new word, loveful. I'm going to change it slightly. But cool. What else? Caleb? They're wise. Right. Mom is wise. Right here in the front.
Gracious.
Gracious. Oh, cool. Yep. Tara.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Oh, moms are all these things? Wow. Mark. Intuitive. I can actually spell these things. I'm getting excited. It's the pressure. Yes. Caring. Excellent. I'm doing pretty well, by the way. What? Faithful. Perfect. Trustworthy. Joe. Multitaskers. Yep. Yes. Nurses. Yep. Compassionate. And no, I'm not preparing for next year's Mother's Day card. Yes. They have good common sense. Yep. Good at giving advice. Excellent. I love it. Tara. Sacrificial. Oh, my goodness. I'm running out of space. These mothers are something.
Teachers.
I love it when it's loud and I can hear it. Excellent. Yes. Protective. Yep. Therapists. Sound like a little experience with that one, maybe. I don't know. Wow. Huh? There's a lot here, right? Mothers are kind. No one that I've met, hardly ever in this room, can out-kind Miss Linda. What an excellent mother and surrogate she is to us. Selfless, somebody mentioned. I think of Mrs. Dean and how she has cared for her husband for a long time and raised an excellent young man. Caring, Miss Jen, how she takes every one of us and makes sure we're okay. Generous. People are generous in this room. You give every week to serve here at Westbridge, ladies. You were provided food by our hospitality team when you came in tonight. We have people who are talented. I mean, did you look at that cookie you got from Grace? Dedicated. Miss Kelly. 15 years she's been doing Westbridge, and she loves every second of it. I could speak about every one of you, because this is what I see in Westbridge. The first to complete man, the second to complete family. The third indication for why God created mothers is marvelously captured behind me. This is underpinned in the Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All women were created by God to complete his image. Scripture most often uses fatherly imagery for God. However, there are a number of instances in Scripture where God refers to himself in motherly imagery. Both father and mother reflect the image of God. And when, ladies, you're doing these things, you are the image of God. You can see that some of these verses. The first one, Andrew, is in Hosea 11, 3 and 4, where God describes himself as a mother. God saying, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. In Hosea 13:8, God describes himself as a mother bear. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder. Deuteronomy 32:11-12, God describes himself as a mother eagle. Like the eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, God spreads wings to catch you and carries you on pinions. Deuteronomy 32:18 tells us it's God who gives birth. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Isaiah 66:13, God is a comforting mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 49:15, God is compared to a nursing mother. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you. Isaiah 42:14, God is a woman in labor. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept myself still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. Psalm 131:2, God is a mother. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like a weaned child that is with me. Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:35 both describe God as a mother hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills, the prophets and stones, those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. And lastly, Luke 15:8-10, where God describes himself as a woman looking for her lost coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins as imagery for her children, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I've lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. No wonder God created mothers. God's masterpiece, as described in a poem by Herbert Farnham. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he simply called it mother. Ladies, you are the image of God. Mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, God has breathed into you him. And you're displaying it here. You're teaching us to be better. Spend time this week asking God to show you and give you a renewed view of the value that you have in his eyes. You are the most special flower in the Creator's garden. And like a flower, you are clothed in captivating beauty. You're delicate and filled with grace. You're elegant, vibrant, and full of radiant life and brilliance. And like a flower, your Creator, the Master Gardener, has hand-selected, hand-picked, hand-arranged, and hand-delivered you where you are today. You are powerful instruments through which God's glory shines, and his image is reflected. Among the chosen women, you are the women of God who are changing all of us and are changing the world around you. Tonight, I can confidently speak for everyone here in thanking God for bringing each of you to us. We love you greatly. And after we close in prayer and on your way out, we have a small gift for you, a flower and a verse, a reminder of how wonderfully beautiful you are to God and to us. May God rich you blessedly in your life and for eternity to come. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you for the women in this room. We thank you that you have breathed such amazing qualities into each and every one of them. We're thankful and we're grateful. I ask you to bless them immensely. Give them the desires of their heart as they follow you. Keep us safe this week, Lord. Bring us back next Saturday night so that we can worship you and become closer to you. In your name we ask, amen. Have a great week, everyone. Happy Mother's Day again.